We're going to read again the story from Luke 14. If you'd like to read that along with me, it's on page 1093. One of those at the table with Jesus heard something he said. He said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus told this parable on a Sabbath day, the day of worship, at the home of a prominent Pharisee. This was a major event, it seemed, on the social calendar. And we can be sure that anybody who was anybody was on the invitation list. Those who were prominent, those who had positions of responsibility in society, those who were seen to be leaders, they were there. And we can be just as sure about the people who weren't there. There were no poor people there. There were no crippled people there. There were no blind people there. We know that because if you still have your Bible open and you look at right before Jesus told this parable, Jesus was talking to the owner, the host, and he said to him, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or relatives or your rich neighbors. Because if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So right before Jesus told this parable, he noted to the host, "You've invited the A-listers, but next time you do this, don't be so exclusive. Don't be so elitist. Invite people that haven't received the social or material or physical blessings that you have, and make that the way that you conduct your celebrations in the future." So we can be very sure that those people were not there. I wonder how Jesus felt at this party. These didn't seem to be the kind of people that he typically hung around with. Most of his disciples were exceedingly blue-collar people. They were fishermen for the main part, and being a fisherman was a blue-collar profession. Jesus was accused sometimes, not of, "Oh, Jesus, you always hang around with the blue bloods. You're so elitist, Jesus." Well, he was never accused of that. Instead, Jesus was accused of, you're the guy that hangs around with sinners, with tax collectors. You're the guy that prostitutes are drawn to. He was known to be a person, a leader, who was connected to people like that. Jesus made time for the marginalized in his society. However, if he was invited by a prominent Pharisee, obviously Jesus would accept that invitation, and indeed he engaged with them and he learned, he shared his insights with them. While in the middle of a serious conversation, which Jesus was showing respect to the host by being honest and speaking with him, one of the guests said something. I imagine him to be kind of a pompous fellow, maybe not especially bright, someone who liked to spout religious inanities. But anyway, this fellow said, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Now, I'm assuming, and I feel confident in this, that what he meant is, blessed are people like me, people who eat at the feast and will be there in the kingdom of God. And it was that comment, that made Jesus tell this story, the story of the parable of the great banquet. One of the best books that I've ever found for understanding Jesus' parables is a book called Poet and Peasant. It's by a Christian scholar named Kenneth Bailey. And what he did is he studied the parables in light of what is known of the culture in which Jesus told the parable. So it gives some deeper insights to the social realities around these parables. What I learned from that is that the invited guests in this story had already accepted the invitation. And that was a point that was not always appreciated by me when I read this before, that at some point this banquet was planned, the invitations went out, and people said, yes, thank you for the invitation, I will be there. And on the basis of receiving these positive acceptances, that the host then began to prepare, that, okay, I know now how many people will come, therefore I have to kill this many fatted calves, and I need to gather this much bread and have my bakers work on that, and I need to compile all this stuff, get rent plates so that everybody can eat. And then when everything was done, when the time of the feast came, then the announcement to those who had been invited and had accepted would say, okay, you can come now. Now it's ready. Everything is on the table. And it was at that point that people started making excuses. As the height of rudeness, the height of inconsiderateness, at that point to say, I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to come. It would take an earth-shaking catastrophe to prevent someone from coming to a party at which they had already accepted the invitation. That's what happened. They make excuses and say, yeah, I can't come. I just bought some property and I've got to attend to it. I've got some oxen and I need to check them out. I just got married and, you know, that's meaning I can't be coming to other parties. I'm, well, whatever. And I when I first would read this, I thought, okay, I understand. I know people in business, you know, real estate investors, and it's a demanding job, and you've got to be careful about your things. So sometimes, yeah, things happen. I know people that are farmers, and I know that, you know, you've got to have tractors and you've got to be very careful about attending to your land and to the flock and to the crops. So yeah, sometimes things happen. You know, and But what I learned about this is that each of these excuses are so lame, so ridiculous, that it's almost laughable. What the person with the land said was, "Oh, I just bought a land, so now I've got to go take a look at it." Well, you don't take a look at something after you bought it. It's before you bought it that you go and check it out and make sure that it's suitable for your needs. And in that culture, the purchase of land was a very long and tedious process. So if he said, "I have bought it," that means that it has all been completed and there was no need to skip a party because you had already purchased land. And if you were to buy oxen, beasts that would help in the plowing and such of your fields, say, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I now need to go try them out, see if they work okay. Well, if you're going to buy 5 yoke of oxen, which was a huge investment, you go and make sure that they're healthy and sound and suitable for the task before you buy them. You don't try them out after you purchase. You do that before. So this was ridiculous. And the person that said he got married said if he could respond to an invitation, that meant that the celebrations for the wedding were over and there was no reason that he could not attend a party. Now, if he had said, "You know, I have to go serve in the military," the Bible does have things say that if you're recently married, that you're freed from having to perform military service for a while. But nowhere does the Bible say that you can't go to parties because you are married. That's crazy. It's ridiculous. But they can't come. And finally, the party thrower has to say nuts to them. Nuts to them. "They won't come. They're going to be so rude to me. They're going to speak to me this way. Then what can I say but nuts?" But the reality is that he's got this house full of food. He's got all the entertainers in place. Everything is ready. And all those who had said, "I will come and I will eat of this food and I will enjoy these amusements and I will enjoy the fellowship of this house," none of them would come. So he sent his servants out into the streets and into the back alleys of the town. "Gather the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the marginalized, those who would never have expected an invitation to a party at the most prominent house in the town." They were not expecting it. They were not looking for it. They never dreamed that they would be invited. They knew, they knew that this party was happening. And it was a big event. These people had heard that there was all this hustle and bustle of the feast being prepared. They did not expect to taste it, though they knew it was happening. But they were invited. And then it says, even after all those people, the town had been invited to the full. There was still room. So the word went out, "Go to the highways. Stop the traffic. Anybody you find, invite them in." And these were people who didn't know there was a party happening. They had no idea that there was a feast in that house on the hill. They had no expectation and no knowledge of the fact that this party was going on. Yet they were drawn in, and they ate and drank and celebrated with the host. Now it's pretty clear that in this parable, the first that were invited were those who would have been in Jesus' society, the privileged, those with positions of influence, positions of power, those who were self-congratulatory religious types. And it's also clear that the poor and the physically disabled were the outcasts within the house of Israel. At least outcasts according to the A-listers. Those who were not much thought of. People who were too busy trying to provide for themselves and their families to schmooze at parties with the bigwigs. People who had tough realities in their life that they were struggling every day to overcome. People like tax collectors. People like sinners of various stripes. The people on the highways and the byways, we can understand from this parable, were those who had no understanding, no knowledge, and no expectation of being part of any party. And these would have been the Gentiles, those who were not of the house of Israel, who didn't know that God had indeed set a feast for his people. And as I was thinking about this, I wondered, which one of these groups am I? Where would I have found myself? Well, I said, I am not of Jewish stock. I am a Gentile. So obviously I would have been in that last group, the highways and the byways people. Sometimes I think, maybe I'm one of the poor and the lame. Maybe I'm crippled or disabled in some way spiritually, and even though I am a broken person, still God sends his angels and his servants to draw me in. Maybe that's me. And sometimes I think maybe I'm one of the first invited, because I was born to a Christian couple who brought me to church to be baptized when I was an infant, brought me to Sunday school, had me go to catechism. I have always been part of the church. It's part of my heritage. So maybe I'm one of the elite spiritually. And then the question for me is, how have I responded to the invitation? After it's been first extended, when Jesus says, "Come to me, Bruce, because the table is ready for you. The feast, the party is ready for you." How do I respond? Do I go to God? I wonder that about me. Do you wonder that about you? If Prime Minister Harper was to come to Hamilton, throw a party, and invite the prominent people of our community, I don't think I would get an invite. That's okay. I don't think many of us, there might be one or two of us that might get an invitation to something. Maybe some of us are longtime members of the Conservative Party of Canada. Could be. Maybe that'll get you an invite. Maybe you're a captain of industry. Maybe you're a prominent physician or something. But for most of us, we would not call ourselves A-listers in society. Some of us would say that we struggle with disabilities, and we would certainly identify with the people that were first drawn in by the servants of the host. And some of us, even spiritually, know that we have been far from God, that maybe we were born into families that were not like mine, where church and the talk of faith and discipleship wasn't part of your upbringing, and you've come to this later on. You say, yeah, I was way out there, and by a relationship I had, by an invitation of somebody, here I find myself in this place, and I know what it is to receive that invitation to come and enjoy the grace of God. We're all at different places. Now, if we are somehow spiritually privileged, in that we have always known, we have always been part, right? And the invitation for us to be part of the community came so long ago we can't even remember it. The challenge for us is to today respond again to the invitation. Just because you were invited long ago does not mean that you do not respond today to the call to take part in the party. Just because you have struggles in your life does not mean that you are not welcome and expected at the party. And just because you have come from a different way, a different path, does not mean that you can join this path and be part of this celebration. We are a unity. And perhaps that's one of the great lessons of this parable, and one of the great lessons for us today. We all have different stories. Our journey to the cross, our journey to faith, our journey to being part of this worshiping community and maybe even part of Bethel Church has taken us different ways. Our roads have looked different, but they have come to the same Lord. And we worship Him together. One of the beautiful things of a congregation and a community at worship, that we have this diversity. Our stories are different, but together they become the one story of this community, where each thread is woven together into a tapestry, which is the community of God gathered for the glory of God. Today we ate and drank the Lord's Supper. And we took, I said those words, and with one motion, we ate that. That's one of the things. Sometimes we have Lord's Supper where people come up and they receive it from the elders. And I love that. That's beautiful, the image of people coming forward to receive this gift from the Lord. Love it. But I also love it when we have communion as we had it today, where it's distributed and then everybody has it in their hand, and with one glorious motion we eat. And with one motion we lift the cup to our lips and we drink and we taste together. And I love that. And today I want to think about that unity. Whatever your story, you ate and drank in unity with your brothers and sisters, gathered before the throne of God. And that's what it's about. That's why we do this. That's why we have collections and we gather funds so that we can engage in ministry and so that we can have an attractive and useful facility to engage in ministry. Why do we sacrifice our money? Why do we give to the kingdom? It's so that we can continue to engage in unity, in worship, and in ministry. That together we give glory to God. May it be typical of us that we act in unity. May the eating and drinking that we did be a template for how we conduct ourselves into the future, giving glory to God, responding to His call with joy and thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for having Your Son tell a story that continues to echo through the ages. We pray, Lord, that You will find us at Your party. Don't let us make lame excuses. Give us the wisdom to hear ourselves talking. And if we're saying dumb things or ridiculous things or giving lame excuses to You about why we're not fully engaging in the gift you provide. Lord, let us hear that and say enough. If we are outside, if we're in the alleys and if we're on the roads, but not at your party, Lord, let us hear this story. Call us to your feast and to the unity of your people in your house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the story. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the truth. And this we say in Jesus' name. Amen.